Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to hour number two of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And of course, you can also check out the show on YouTube here if you want to see that lovely, what was that, lime green?
Oh, yeah.
Like key lime green.
Yep.
He's always shirt that Jerry Dulac was
he's
wearing.
He's always a colorful fluorescent fella. I mean, it's a golf thing. You know?
Yeah, you want to make sure you can see out on the golf course so you don't get hit in the back with a ball like by Larry David did.
I pretended like I know. I just assume there's awesome courses here, but they're awesome courses.
There are great courses.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, Florida's just littered with them.
Yeah, and I would think in this area.
You've seen the one as you drive into this complex
it's beautiful.
Here.
I assumed it was a high-end course.
Yeah. It's very nice.
Not
very
too
nice.
Shabby in Arizona last year either.
No, there's some good courses out there as well. And, well, go figure that the NFL holds its meetings where there's somewhere good to golf.
Yeah, I have a feeling a lot of the folks in attendance brought clubs.
Yeah. Yeah. We did not because we're on the air and
we're working, man.
Yeah, this is a working trip very much so for us. And the NFL also doing some work today. A lot of the stuff starting to be discussed and get voted on. And according to Ian Rappaport, he is hearing that the hip drop tackle has been voted on and it will be outlawed.
I kind of saw that coming.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense isn't going to like it. Their job is admittedly very, very difficult. But the league wants more points. They want player safety.
Yeah, they don't want their star players being taken off the field on carts.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll see plenty of flags this year because, you know, habits are hard to break. But there are a few players, like I think especially the linebackers for Cincy come to mind that rely on it a lot. I'm not just picking on the Bengals. It just comes to mind.
It just seems to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that was in the cards and makes sense.
Yeah, I just, that particular play you could see the danger in it, and we talked about it yesterday. But, I think there are different ways to get the guy. Maybe instead of going in as high, maybe you just go for dive for the legs, and get the guy that way instead of trying to get him up around, the upper portion of the body and then sliding down
with all your weight across his lower body is just screaming for ankles and knees and muscle pulls and tendons and all those things.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just rough on the human body, but. I do feel for these tacklers. I mean, they're pretty hamstrung. I mean, they really are. But I do think the league wants player safety. I mean, sometimes you look at them like, how much do they really want player safety? But I really do believe they do. And they want more points. So you're out of luck, defense.
Yeah, that's been something, and we've talked about it a lot on our show over the last couple of years, how points have been down across the league.
I mean, since COVID, it's been down heavy.
I
mean, number of touchdowns.
I wonder, some of that may be the lack of returns.
Maybe.
Because you just don't get those explosive returns, even out to midfield. Mm-hmm. A kickoff return out to midfield is a big deal.
And actually, now you say that, the other end of that, the upside down of that is, okay, I get a return, but I fumble on my own 10.
Right.
Well, there's points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
those things lend themselves, they're exciting plays, and they lend themselves to points. I think there were only maybe a couple of returns last year across the league. For touchdowns.
I think that number's down dramatically, to be honest
with
you.
Which, again, that affects your scoring.
Yeah, and teams aren't going to invest in the best return guys out there if they can't do other things, too, like we talked about last segment. So, yeah, I do think touchdowns are down dramatically. They were, it was crazy during COVID. But there was no fan base. And,
I think defense has had an advantage
in
that respect.
But still, things have dropped more than I think the fantasy community and betting community and NFL as a whole and casual viewers want to see big plays and – part of it, though, too, is just defenses have changed how they play.
They're not going to allow those big plays over the top. So, with that, if that's going to be, defenses aren't going to give you the deep balls as much. Mm-hmm. So, if you're the league and you're looking at that, how can you therefore affect more scoring, well, get more returns.
Get more returns, yeah. And the reason, I mean, there's a lot of reasons they do it, but a big one is, boy, quarterbacks getting hurt left and right. So if the third-string quarterback or a second-string quarterback's in there, I'm going to make him be precise with, you know, distribution and not force things or play ahead of his skis trying to, I got one start in my career. I'm going to make it count and I got nothing to lose.
Make him put it in the turkey hole a lot is,
is
John Gruden used. I never understood what that was supposed to mean. I know where he was talking about throwing it. I don't know why it's called the turkey hole.
I don't either. I don't know if he made that up or not. And I also think, too, I always go back to this, because I think D linemen are more talented than O linemen.
Yeah.
If you have to sustain a 12-play drive, well, that's one hold away from screwing it up or one blown block or something like that.
I wonder if that's going to start to shift a little bit, though, Max, because we've seen
– This year's draft
This year's draft is kind of starts to balance things out.
First step that the offense is counterpunched.
Yeah, even last year's draft, there weren't the premium pass rushers that we'd seen in some recent years.
No.
That, you know, those things tend to, you know, it's kind of like an S-curve that you look at.
Yeah. Because I do think the receivers have come in the league have been great all along.
And now we're starting to, like, this year's defensive back draft is really deep.
I mean, it's deep, but it's not elite either.
It's not elite, but, you know, the last couple have had elite guys at the top and maybe not the overall depth. This one has great depth.
It does. My point there was I think the receivers over the last several years, including this draft, are better than the guys covering them coming into the league, where the big people have been the total opposite, and it's been even more drastic. But this year they're not. I mean, this year everyone put a better grade on the O-line class than the D-line class.
Yeah, Tomlin was asked about that yesterday. You know, why are he? Because he mentioned, he said, you know, these receivers are coming into the league, receivers and cornerbacks for that matter, so much more prepared for what they're going to see because they've been training. They've been doing 7-on-7s since they were 8 years old. You know, they know how to cover. They know how to run routes.
Much
set better
players up.
Much better than you know the receivers of old, and he's you know is
year round.
Yeah, they just that's what he said. They do this year round. Like he mentioned today that you know he saw with his sons when he was you know they were out doing 7-on-7 stuff. He's like I saw Sauce Gardner at 16. You know,
makes sense. Yeah, you're gonna, if you're pretty
he recognized. Oh, that's a pretty good young player.
He might have a future. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the 7-on-7 stuff is really sweeping the world, and I do think I've heard some people.
It's kind of AAU for football.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's less physical. You know, its flag has gotten bigger as well. I mean, it's not the same.
George Pickens played on Cam Newton's. Cam Newton sponsored a 7-on-7 team, and George Pickens played on that.
Okay.
Cam Newton sponsored 7-on-7 team.
See, I think that's only going to grow. And I've heard some smart people out there say even the NFL should have a minor league 7-on-7 team type of thing. Or even
They're working that direction
or,
with the flag football initiatives and things of that nature.
Yeah. Basketball just, and grass.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, but that being said, I mean, the league showed us this offseason, all those centers we thought the Steelers would be at the market. They made more than we thought.
You know? And you still need big people.
You still need big people. Those guards are getting huge contracts. All the running backs got scooped up in the first. They didn't get paid as much as people think, but they got scooped up in day one
quickly,
and two. Yeah.
Quickly.
They, I mean, I pivoted to Josh, you know, Jacobs.
I looked
or
it up.
Derek
there were
Henry or,
so in the period between the legal tampering period and when free agency actually began, 16 running backs changed hands.
Changed teams. Okay.
That's a lot. That was more than any
insane.
Other position.
And it's never like that at that position. You can usually get, you know, a fine player now.
Yeah.
And they've moved on. So I do think the league, back to what we were saying about a lot of nickel, a lot of dime, a lot of too high, the Rams are such a good example. I mean, they have three massive interior linemen now, and they're always known for throwing it around the yard with Stafford. Well, if you're going to play too high, we're going to get 6 yards in a cloud of dust, you know?
Yeah, they ran the ball very effectively last year.
Yeah.
And I know, like, even when they played the game they played against the Steelers, you know, the Steelers were content to kind of allow them to run the football a little bit because you didn't want them throwing the ball to Puka Nacua
and
Kupp and those guys.
Scary,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, the Steelers were able to win that game playing it that way.
Yeah. So I keep bringing up the Rams because they spent a lot of money on two guards. Even though they used their first pick in the draft, it was an early second last year on Steve Avila out of TCU, who was a center guard in college.
Yeah.
He played really, really well as a rookie at guard. They let two centers walk. bumped him into center, and that wall from guard to guard is a massive group, but it's a huge investment. I don't know that they'll get their money out of it, but that's why they're a really interesting test case to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think Kyren Williams is a special back. I mean, he's not Todd Gurley or, you know, right.
But, you know, we do a lot of fantasy talk on a show.
Super productive.
He'll be a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, he's going to get the ball a lot. And,
in fantasy, anyways.
Absolutely.
Just because of the volume, and they're telling us, teams tell you what they're going to do with the moves that they make. Mm-hmm. They're telling us they're going to run the football.
They're going to run the football. And I also think they're preparing for Stafford's replacement one.
That's probably the second part of that is, look, we know we've got a 36-year-old quarterback. I think he's 36 now.
Yeah.
Who
Garoppolo's
is
backup at this point, too.
Yeah, he's closer to the end than he is the beginning. We want to protect him a little bit better. We want to run the football and not put him in harm's way as much.
And I know nothing about the situation, but it wouldn't shock me if Stafford and McVay had a conversation saying, I got one more year for you.
You know?
His wife's even on Twitter all the time saying, just retire, Matthew. Come back home, you know. So, I mean, he's not long for this world, and they're probably in the draft market a year from now. Well, build up the middle with a power run game and guards and centers, and it should be a decent landing spot.
Honestly, this is where the Steelers did this 2 years ago, where, you know, they went out and they paid money for James Daniels, and they paid money for Isaac Seumalo. Mason Cole, that didn't exactly work out, but it was better than what they had
previously
at center. Well, now they can upgrade that center position again, and they'll have a similar build to what the Rams do.
So, you know, this is one of my biggest pet peeves, and, you know, I think we share this conversation, is I really despise when franchises are struggling, which inevitably most do, and it's quarterback time and you're picking early, and you throw them into terrible situations.
Yeah.
And I'm not making excuses for Justin Fields, but that first year was when they spent a lot of money on Allen Robinson, and when the Steelers signed Allen Robinson a year ago, I went back and looked at that Chicago offense and Fields' rookie year, it was as dysfunctional as any of the league. Nobody was succeeding
and then
in that. And
then his second year, they're trading away guys like Roquan Smith. They're just dumping people.
Dumping people left and right. And then he gets a little better, but things aren't good around him. And before you know it, it's fifth-year option time. And I just think that's a terrible way to groom a quarterback. Then you and I talk about this in our mock drafts and things. And I did it this the other day on my YouTube channel. I was like, I'm going to do a mock draft for the Patriots. Everyone in the world is going to take a quarterback. But I'm like, that's a terrible situation to throw Jalen Daniels or Marcus May into.
Yeah.
But there's nothing around him. So I traded down a few spots. I ended up taking Joe Alt. And then I just kept drafting linemen. I'm like, I would love to fall into that a year from now. Not now.
Yeah.
So I think that mistake's made a lot.
And I know people look at future quarterback classes and say, well, this next year's going to be, not as good, and 2 years from now, this is going to be better.
Nobody knew Joe Burrow was.
3 years ago, everybody was talking about how Spencer Rattler was going to be the top quarterback in last year's class.
Yeah, right. I mean,
he ends up losing his job at Oklahoma, transferring to South Carolina, and now he's probably a third or fourth round draft pick.
This time last year, Jalen Daniels wasn't considered an early pick.
Yeah.
Wentz wasn't when he came out. Joe Burrow was out of nowhere. Everyone, remember we were tanking for Tua?
Yeah.
Well, Joe Burrow went well ahead of him, and Herbert's better than him too, So I don't think you can look at that stuff.
Yeah, you just have to – one of the things that Tomlin said, because he was asked, he said, well, you have both of the – your two quarterbacks are essentially under contract for just 1 year. Mm-hmm. What happens in 2025? Do you foresee yourself – signing one of these guys to long-term deal or anything of that nature? He says, honestly, we haven't thought that far into the future yet. We're looking at this year and this year only. Worry about next year.
I totally get that, and I'm not sure I 100% believe that, but
think about it. You may not,
but the beauty of it
be
is
in any situation where you're ready to make a move on anything like that.
It's almost like being able to test drive a car for a year, though. Like, I'm going to lease it for a year, and then am I going to buy it or not?
Right.
Like, I don't like the rearview mirror. I don't like this, or whatever it is. But these guys, you're at least going to get your hands on them soon, then in mini camp, and then you're going to be with them every day. And you're like, oh, I like these human beings. I like how they, work together. I like how they fit with the city, the team, the franchise, work ethic. Can we turn them into the answer? And that's what coaching's all about.
And as he said today, now they've obviously had face-to-face meetings with Russell Wilson. He's been in the building. Mm-hmm. They haven't gotten the chance to meet yet with Justin Fields.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Since this whole thing has happened.
Right.
He's like, because he was asked about, how do you foresee, or how does this work with Justin Fields? I haven't even sat down with him yet. I haven't met with him yet.
It's not surprising. People are probably like, oh, that's, malpractice. Like, that's the way it works. I mean, these guys are busy. I mean, they're all
it's the off doing season.
Stuff, you know.
There goes Omar Khan.
Walking by, right.
Yeah, who's been a busy guy.
Busy guy. Exactly. He's not here just, you know, picking up the gifts and going golfing. He's got a lot to do.
Yeah, he's signing Quez Watkins today, or agreeing to terms of Quez Watkins.
But I'm sure reportedly. Coach Tomlin, the quarterback coach, Arthur Smith, have had conversations with Fields.
Yeah, they've probably talked on the phone, but until you get a chance to sit down with them and
start going,
okay, here's our playbook. Here's the, you know, this is.
Get them on the whiteboard and watch film with them and all that stuff, right.
And those are things that will take place over the next few months here. And, you know, that's why I thought it was interesting. And he said, you know, that he was asked, you know, why not have an open quarterback? Why not call this an open quarterback competition with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? He says, I just think for the team's sake, for team continuity, it makes more sense right now to name Wilson the number one and Fields number two. Just to, now we know the pecking order, you know, and they're both learning at the same time. It's, you know, that's the it's a bit tough. It's kind of you're back into the situation you were in with Trubisky and Pickett a couple of years ago, where they were both learning a new offense with a new team. In this situation, they're both veteran guys, though,
right,
who are learning a new offense.
So far ahead of all that in terms of experience and, you know, resume. And
even far beyond what Trubisky was.
Oh, for not even close.
Yeah. I mean,
Trubisky's at the Fields level.
You know? Yeah.
And, however, and I don't want to look too much into it or, you know, plant seeds that don't belong, but just listening to the first hour, the first segment, the little we heard from the Tomlin press conference, two things stuck out to me. He said, Wilson is number one for now.
Yes.
And he said he's in pole position. That doesn't mean he crossed
the checkered
flag.
That doesn't mean he's there.
Yeah, yet. Right. I mean, it's not over. But I think that's what he deserves.
Yeah, it will be a competition, but you give the tip of the cap to the guy who started 200 games and won a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky didn't have that.
Right.
You know,
No. And I think that's how I'd handle it, too.
Yeah. So
it doesn't mean you're guaranteed the job if you fall on your face.
Right. He's going to come in and perform at a high level, or, you know, there's option B.
There's a talented guy, young and eager behind you.
Yeah, who's not a rookie. That was the other situation. You know, when you look at Trubisky Pickett versus what they have here, you've got a guy.
Been in stadiums.
Who's been in stadiums, started games, who you know can produce at the NFL level.
Mm-hmm. No, it's an interesting dynamic, and I do wonder, could there be a third-round guy in the mix, too, that would be under contract for four more years? How did you handle that? But if not, so what? I mean, you have two guys that are, you know, going to get a lot of attention.
I wonder, you know, if that's one of the things, you know, when Tomlin talks about picking the brain of a guy like Arthur Smith. Smith has been through some quarterback battles of his own.
Yeah.
Starting with, you know, his first, was it first season? Second? Yeah, no, his first year as the coordinator at Tennessee. They had brought in Ryan Tannehill.
For a fifth-round pick.
Marcus Mariota was the established starter there.
He was the second pick in the draft.
Was young in his career.
Their returning
starter. Tannehill was better in the preseason that year. I remember that. You know, the Steelers played the Titans that year in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And even some of the Titans writers were saying, Tannehill's been much better than – and they finally pulled the trigger. I think it was the sixth or seventh game into the season. Mm-hmm. They finally pulled the trigger and put Tannehill in the lineup and you know.
I mean, that's a big-time coaching decision because that's your high-pedigree second overall pick guy that's the inferior player. That's hard to do. It's kind of like what happened with Wilson as a rookie, who's also the same draft class as Tannehill. We're spending a good chunk of money on Flynn. You're the third-round pick. Can't keep you off the
field.
But
you're better.
You're better. Yeah. I mean, it's become obvious, and everyone in the building knows it. And Tomlin's more aware of this than us. But, I mean, if Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt and Isaac Seumalo say, Fields is better, guys, you got to play.
And I just wonder, you know, in retrospect, you know, if Wilson and Mike Vrabel, who was the head coach at that time, after they got done with that season, said, you know what, we probably should have gone with Tannehill from the beginning and put Mariota on the bench.
It's funny because I did a podcast yesterday about this. The two full seasons that Tannehill and Smith put together, over that two-year stretch, I think it was 19 and 20.
It was 19 and 20.
His advanced metric stuff were top three in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking like EPA.
And he had never been that guy before that.
I'm close. Yeah. Got him for a fifth-round pick because people thought he was not a bust, but he was kind of a washout in Miami. It's like, we got to move on from this guy. And I think that's when they drafted Tua. Or shortly after.
Shortly after, yeah.
They were moving
they had
on.
Teddy too. Bridgewater, I think, for a year.
Yeah, okay. They had a bridge.
Yeah. Bridge over the water.
Bridge over very troubled water, yeah.
But I just thought that dynamic, you know, I just wonder if that's something. Because if you think about it, that Pickett-Trubisky camp was really the first time in his coaching career that Mike Tomlin
had to
maneuver through a quarterback competition.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about that a lot because Rudolph deserves some time too. You know, he was only a throwaway three.
I saw the competition that Bill Cowher had when he had three guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and Jimmy Miller's right down there doing Sirius Radio, and he was one of them. And it just didn't when you're trying to get three guys ready.
It's really, really hard.
You don't have enough time. You certainly don't have enough time in today's NFL with shortened training camps and shortened OTAs and a shortened preseason to figure that out.
And in a way, Rudolph got a little bit of the short end of the stick on that. And what I think could be different, and I don't expect there to be a three-way in any way, stretch or four, or, you know, but Wilson might not need as much as Trubisky. He won't need as much, you know, his first year here at all in terms of reps. Certainly preseason play, too. Like, he may not even play in the preseason. I have no idea. You know,
I mean, I assume he'll play a little bit.
He'll play, like, a Ben number of snaps, maybe, or something like that.
Something, yeah, just enough to, okay, he's he's okay.
He's run with his team. But, this one's a little different, but a true three-man competition is almost impossible to be fair to everybody.
Yeah, especially with three preseason games, and you just don't have enough time.
Then there's not two-a-days anymore. I mean, there's just a lot less practice time.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get to a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and watching it on YouTube as we bring that to you here on the video. Check that out on the Steelers YouTube page.
Getting a lot of clicks. People are into it.
Absolutely, as they should. I mean, what more do you want to see than us? You know, that's jazz hands.
Faces for radio on TV. See how that experiment goes.
Absolutely. But we're going to take a break. We are here at the NFL spring meetings. Everything happening here. People shuffling by us. Just saw Omar Khan walk by a little bit ago. We're going to get to a break. We'll be back with more. He's Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to Steelers Nation Radio.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson, except no others. Matt, we are live here at the NFL meetings here, and stuff is going on. Of course, the coaches are starting to talk. The AFC coach is talking this morning. And
not a buzz.
Mike McDaniel was asked about Odell Beckham, and he said that the Dolphins have an offer out to Odell Beckham. They're just waiting to see what he does.
It's a little odd for me for a coach to say that.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I think they've signed a third guy, too.
Yeah, I don't know how why that would fit or why they would want to they lost a lot of defensive players in agency in cuts, and they're going to go more heavily on the offensive side of things.
Yeah, I mean, they've made a lot of moves. I mean, I'll be honest, I thought on the field their 53-man roster would get hurt a lot more in free agency than it did. I mean, they lost some people, Christian Wilkins being the biggest of them, cut Baker,
Howard
the corner. So they have, you know, made some moves and lost some big name guys, but I think they maxed out the credit cards again and decided we're going to take another shot at
all
this.
In on offense.
All in on offense.
I don't know how Odell Beckham helps them win a game in Kansas City in January.
Yeah,
or Buffalo or Pittsburgh or wherever.
Does that imply Waddle might not be back a year from now? Or I don't know. Probably not. I'm sure it's a 1-year deal for Beckham, any which way you cut it. If they were to do any team that signs him, I mean. My old bagel.
But it does, you know, I mentioned before, if you're the Steelers and if, let's say, the Dolphins do sign Odell Beckham and they say, you know what, we got to pick up the fifth-year option on Waddle, maybe we're not going to do that. We're going to trade him away.
We brought him up before, you know, Devontae Smith, Waddle, a couple guys from that class.
To me, Waddle will be the more appealing one.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's an exceptional player. Both would be great additions, of course. But, you know, guys on their fifth-year option have been moved, even if they are very happy with their team, et cetera. So, I mean, I think it's worth kicking the tires on. He wouldn't be cheap at
no,
all.
No, not at all.
That's right.
But, again, those receivers that have been
dynamic,
traded over
yeah.
the years in these similar situations.
That was A.J. Brown. That was,
Yeah. They've worked out.
They've worked out. It's funny. You brought that up yesterday because I said something along the lines yesterday of a lot of these high pick for player that I have to sign moves haven't worked out. But then you corrected me. You're like, except for the receivers.
Receivers have.
Yeah, they have. They absolutely have.
So that would just be interesting. Not surprisingly, Jim Harbaugh says that McCarthy's the best quarterback in this draft. I think he's a little biased in that
way. Yeah, he's strong that way. One thing about him that I have a lot of respect for, but obviously he can go over the top with too, is he is exceptional or really, really strong at pumping up his players.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll do it with the Chargers, did it with the Niners, you know, every step of the way. And I think it's great. I mean, I think it instills confidence in his guys and gets the most out of them. It's part of his appeal, but he could go over the top on it too.
A little bit. But
they're also not in the quarterback market.
Yeah. I mean, would it surprise you if all of their draft picks this year were Michigan guys?
Not to mention he may have an ulterior motive too of, hey, come to five and get McCarthy.
Yeah. You know? Well, there's some of that too.
I mean, it might help the Chargers.
Yeah. Zach Taylor saying that the Bengals are encouraged by Joe Burrow's recovery. Everything is right on schedule. I think we forget he had a wrist injury last year that sidelined him on his throwing hand.
I think we forget that he misses like every preseason in camp since he's been in the league.
It's a bit of an issue.
I think he's had one real offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the appendectomy the 1 year. I mean, he's had a lot of things. He had a knee. I think he's a phenomenal player, but the one negative or concern is durability.
Yeah. I mean, it is something that you have to look at. Mm-hmm. And they've invested now in two
gigantic
offensive tackles. They look mm-hmm. like the two Colossus of Rhodes, standing on either end of the line. I don't know that they're the most mobile guys.
No. I mean, their style is pretty obvious. And a lot of it, I think, is on Burrow, too. I mean, he's not Josh Allen, Ben Roethlisberger in terms of build. He's a little leaner, but he's incredibly competitive. He holds the ball in the pocket as long as he possibly can to take the hit. And, you know, his teammates love him for it, and he's a great player because of it.
I think they'd love it more if he
self-preservation would be a little more in tow. Not to mention, the Bengals just gave him a huge contract. Like, why don't you protect yourself a little more?
Need you out there, big guy.
Yeah.
If you look at, I'm just looking here. John Harbaugh said that Derrick Henry, who they signed in the free agency, speaks to how we want to play and approach the game.
He sure looks like a Raven. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, I think the Ravens lost a lot more than they gained this year, too, including the coordinator. But, boy, he's fits in well. I mean, I think the rest of the division is not thrilled with that signing.
Yeah, I just don't know. He's at that magic 30 age mm-hmm. where, you know, at some point, the running backs just happen. They fall off the cliff.
I know. And I've doubted him for 3 years now from that same reason. I think he might just be different than others. It is coming. I mean,
It's coming.
There's no question about it. And his wear and tear going back, not even to college, but to high school, is massive. I mean, he's had more carries over the last 10, 12 years as a 17 to 30-year-old than anyone times 1,000. But he's different than everybody else, too. And he was, you know, behind maybe the worst line in the league last year in Tennessee, he was one of the best backs in the league after first contact still. I didn't think he had that in him, you know.
It's going to be interesting to see what Baltimore does to continue to improve their offensive line because they've had some losses there. I'm kind of surprised at that Morgan Moses trade. You're already in a situation where you maybe need – to upgrade your offensive line, and you're going to give up a guy who's been a pretty good player for you.
Mm-hmm. And Moses isn't young, and I mean, I'm sure they'll draft these guys like crazy. But he's a quality right tackle, and that line's been hit hard. Back to the running back situation for them, J.K. Dobbins is still floating around, and I'm sure that's all injury-related. But if I were them, I'd probably use a third-round pick on a power back, you know, as Henry insurance. But I think
he's never been a great receiving back. Not that they throw to the backs a lot anyways.
But I mean, the difference between Mitchell, who's tiny and a good receiving back, and Henry couldn't be any more stark. But that's also a heck of a tell, too. I mean, there's a much different players, the total spectrum. So maybe they draft someone that's somewhere in between, a Dobbins-type guy to have for a four-year deal. You know, maybe Henry's replacement a year from now. But their O-line needs work.
Yeah, for sure. Andy Reid said that multiple teams came after defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo in this offseason.
Would you be anxious to go if you were Spags?
Probably not.
I mean, you got
a pretty good
once. Yeah.
I know we're probably going to get 25 or so or plus, you know, of that. And all I got to do
is – playoffs
every
year. I may have add more rings. I'm sure he's being compensated extremely well by defensive coordinator standards. And, hey, I mean, it's kind of like a Dick LeBeau thing where I tried the head coaching thing. It didn't go well at all, and I didn't like it so much. I didn't get the X and O and game plan against, you know, Super Bowl teams. I like what I'm doing, and I'm one of the best ever to do it. Why change at this stage of my career? He's not 35.
Yeah. Yeah, just got an email in here that the league has officially approved some new playing rules.
Oh.
The first one is the Detroit rule that amends Rule 15, Section 1, Article 1, to protect a club's ability to challenge a third time if you get a successful challenge. If you remember, if you'd missed on a challenge, one of your first two challenges, you only got one more. Even if you got that one right, you only had two. Well, now if you get one of the first two right, you then get a third.
Oh, okay. That's logical to me. I mean, yeah. I would bet that was probably an easy stamp of approval on that one.
We also talked about the hip drop tackle. The other one that they approved, and I'm going to have somebody explain this one, is to allow the enforcement of a major foul by the offense prior to a change of possession in a situation where there are fouls by both teams. We talked about that.
Yeah, that was a little convoluted to me when we talked through it yesterday. I'm going to have to hear a better.
Somebody's going to have to do some. Lucy got some splaining to do on that one.
Yeah, that one's above my pay grade. Can't figure that one out.
Well, I think there's a press conference maybe to, that's going to explain that here. Kicking off roll. I believe it just kicked off. So
I'll say, it seems like a flock of people are moving at a rapid rate in that direction. So
yeah,
maybe
so
there's something going
on. We'll get some additional explaining on that rule and exactly what that means. People wonder why the NFL game is so difficult to officiate.
Oh, man. If you've ever been down on the field near the game, you would understand completely.
Yeah, big people moving very fast.
Yeah, I mean, making the earth rumble like
and,
dinosaurs.
And, you know, then you get to stuff that hey, if it's this much here or that much there, it's a foul. If it's not, you know, if the helmet's in here as opposed to here.
Yeah. It's all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
I don't envy the officials at all either. I'd be terrible at it. I can't even imagine what they go through and what the answer is, but I do think they do a much better job than people give them credit for. I mean, it's one of those jobs like
when you screw. So the thing is, you screw up, it's immediately on social media now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm as guilty as that as anybody because they do screw some stuff up.
Oh, they do.
But it's not like it used to be where 20 years ago there was not social media out there and you didn't have. You didn't have a rules expert, actually, part of the broadcast team is a former official explaining. Well, I think they got it wrong on this one, or they got it right on this one. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we have guys like that just shows you how the popularity of the game.
100%. Yeah, I always go back to the camera angles too. Like, was there how many camera angles were there of the Immaculate Reception? Two. Yeah, I mean, they probably would have got that call right, whether it helped the Steelers or not.
What do you mean? They got it right.
They definitely got it right. But, I mean, times have changed dramatically, and these officials only have one angle, where we have seven or eight to look at.
In full speed. Yeah.
In super slow motion, and the fingertips, did the ball hit the ground, did the ball hit the laces, whatever it is. So it's a brutal job.
Well, at this point, Jerry Jones said that last year at this time, he's saying that the Cowboys were all in on winning, and now he's saying that they need to win with less.
Okay.
I mean, they haven't done anything in free agency.
They've done nothing. I mean, to me, that just says we got to get Parsons, Lamb, and Dak signed.
They got some stars that they got to pay up.
The supporting cast, the Tyler Biotishes of the world are going to be replaced by rookies, by cheap labor. Right.
Yeah,
that's a tough way to live. But
it is.
You don't want those guys to leave either.
That's another team that, they're going to have a decision to make on Dak Prescott.
A lot of people think he's going to be the highest paid player in the league very soon.
Yeah.
And
if not, then, does he become the next Kirk Cousins and is a quality quarterback hitting the league, hitting the open market?
And he'd make a lot more than Cousins if he was on the open market.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll leave Dallas, but
I don't think so either, but you never know.
No.
I mean, stranger things have happened.
Absolutely. But they're in a weird place.
They've got,
they don't pick early.
The San Francisco quarterback on their roster.
Yeah. Trey Lance. And they also have Rush, who's the two, really.
Yeah.
I wonder if somebody would be interested in Lance for a 4 or 5 or something like that at this point. They weren't a year ago, and he hasn't changed.
He hasn't played.
Right,
he still hasn't played anymore.
No. No tape on him.
Yeah. Sean Payton said it is realistic for Denver to trade up for a quarterback in this draft.
I saw that. It could be. I mean, they're just so light on resources after the Wilson trade. They need so much infrastructure that isn't there. They don't have a wealth of draft picks. They haven't had draft picks that are cheap labor from the last couple of years. But how else do you get a quarterback? I mean, I think you could get Nix at 12 or 13 or wherever they're at.
Which I think is a good fit for them.
Yeah, but then is that
I don't even love Nix, but I think he would fit well with what Peyton
I very much do,
to do,
too. But I'd much rather take him at 25 and pick up more picks. You know, I think they're in for a very, very long year. And I would not be wanting to be the GM of the Broncos right now. You know, if the 32 jobs get me a Super Bowl roster, if that's your job as GM, they'd be one of my last picks.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of surprised that Peyton took that job a year ago. That,
well, it's paying very, very well, too.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, he thinks a lot of job security,
you know.
Too. I mean, I was listening to some Broncos reporters saying they thought Surtain might get moved and Sutton and, you know, really blow it up.
Yes, yeah. I mean, if you move Surtain, you could get a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a thing that I think a lot of times fans overestimate, and apparently some media as well, overestimate the value of a player
right
on the open market.
Because the contract.
Because contracts matter.
That's huge. I mean, it's the player minus the compensation, minus the cap space, minus how I, you know, his age and all those things too, and these guys get hurt, and then all of a sudden your asset's gone. You know?
And the other thing that you have to factor into it is the availability in free agency and the draft.
Yeah, I mean there's a cost.
That's why the wide receivers that moved this year, including Deontay Johnson, I don't think that the return was quite what people might expect because this draft is loaded with wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean I also think it was telling that the quarterbacks kind of at the picket level, the Howells and Mac Jones and Fields and didn't get the picks that people thought, which also tells me I think the league really values, as we've been saying for months now, rounds 1 through 4.
Yeah,
are premium picks this year
are pretty solid. Yeah,
really, and they're better than the last couple of years. So it's like we're going to take advantage of this draft, and we mentioned it too. I mean, like, didn't seem like much in the Pickett deal to move up or in the Johnson deal to move up. I think that's more valuable this year than most.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You want to have those extra picks in those first four rounds are key in this particular draft. Let's get to another break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are here in Orlando at the NFL meetings. Some of the stuff starting to take place here. Maybe we'll get a little more news on some of these rule proposals.
Yeah, it sounds like that's happening as we speak.
As we come here back for the final segment of today's drive, right after this.
Here we go, Steelers! Here we go! This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
And we are back, Dale Lally and Matt Williamson at the owners' meetings here in Orlando. Matt, here for this final segment, I just found this on ESPN here that they have their offseason power rankings.
Oh, okay.
Post free agency.
Room, yeah.
We did the NFL's last week. Let's see where the Steelers come at in on this one. I would guess it's probably right around, I think the Steelers were 13th.
I would say 12. I think you're right in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
though. Yeah.
Right in that area after the offseason moves here. They also have the under-the-radar signing for each team.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So at 32 are still the Carolina Panthers. Their under-the-radar move was signing defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson.
Oh, that's a quality player.
Yeah.
Run stuffer, grown man strength type of guy.
They made some interesting.
They did a lot of different stuff. They lost a lot. I mean, they took their defensive allocations, moved them to offense, which I understand. I mean, at least give Bryce Young a chance.
Yeah. I saw something recently, too, that said that Derek Brown might be available from them for a trade. That would be interesting.
See, he's a free agent to be a year from now. And I saw that the other day and thought he would fit in here really well. I mean, he's
a really good player.
A lot like Bent.
That nobody knows about because, as Dante Jackson told us last week, nobody really has seen any Carolina Panthers games unless you happen to stumble across them.
The only thing I would hesitate there is, I bet you could get him for a reasonably good pick because they're not winning anything this year. They need, you know, they need cap space. They need their cap's not as good as you think either. But then you would have to invest in him.
Then you got to pay him.
You got a lot of money on defense. It's kind of the Snead conversation we had yesterday. But, boy, he'd be a good Steeler.
At 31, and this is down from their final rankings of 30, is New England, and their under-the-radar move was signing K.J. Osborne.
He's fine. I mean, he's a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
I mean, he's okay.
I mean, I like him. He's yeah.
He might catch a lot of passes for him this year, but that's more of a indictment on their pass catchers.
It's an indictment on what the moves that they made, too.
Yeah, yeah. Their offense still needs a lot.
At 30, down from 29, is Arizona. And their under-the-radar move is signing Sherron Murphy Bunting. I think they were much higher in the rankings on
NFL.com. Yeah, I think this is more what they are, though. I mean, who is a high-end starter or an above-average starter on that team? Right now, there's not many. And Murphy Bunting is a quality addition, too. I mean, he's a good starter.
At 29, up from 31, are the Washington Commanders, and they're under the radar move. And, oh, man, this is a stretch. Hiring Lance Newmark as the assistant GM. I don't even know who Lance Newmark is.
I have a feeling he's friends with the writer of this article.
Apparently. Yeah. Lance Newmark is someone who's never been in my kitchen.
Yeah, and this article brought to you by John Newmark. Mr.
Cindy,
and Mrs. Newmark.
Cindy Newmark, his wife.
I'm sure he's a fine fellow.
He could have just walked by us now and we just offended him.
Right.
Yeah.
How great would that be if the Newmark family just went strolling by with his kids?
Start throwing stuff at us.
His little kids.
At 28, down a spot are the Giants, and they're under the radar signing offensive lineman Jermaine Illuminor.
See, I think they completed their O-line.
Yeah.
I like what the Giants did. I mean, they have quarterback and receiver questions galore. But you trade for Burns. I mean, both their lines got
better.
Way better.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a good way to build.
Yeah, it's a good start.
At 27, down from 23, are the Broncos, and their under-the-radar move is signing safety Brandon Jones. I think they should be lower.
They haven't done anything. Right.
I think they should be lower.
In contention for first overall pick next year.
Yeah. At 26, down from 25, are the Chargers, and they're under-the-radar move, signing tight end Will Disley.
Ugh. I mean, he's a blocker and a run-first offense. I mean, I see what they're doing, but they gave him pretty legit money.
Their offensive coordinator came out and said that Gus Edwards is a bell cow back.
Ugh. I will fear for Herbert's future in some ways. I mean, I just don't know if they're going to utilize him.
Just saying it now.
Yeah.
Do not draft Justin Herbert.
Even if they take
in fantasy this year.
Even if they get Neighbors or somebody like that, still, they're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
It's going to be a transformation.
At 25, up from 28, are the Titans, and their under-the-radar move is hiring defensive coordinator Denard Wilson.
I don't know anything about Wilson, but that's fine. I can believe that.
At least he's somebody that does stuff on the field.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, he's a coordinator. I mean, they're totally changing how they play.
It's not an assistant GM. Yeah. 24, holding steady, the Raiders. And they got two under-the-radar moves, signing defensive tackles John Jenkins and Adam Butler.
Hmm. Both those guys I kind of liked coming out of school, but I kind of felt like the ship sailed on them. I mean, they signed Christian
Wilkins. But it's better than what they had. They also signed Christian Wilkins. They've really invested in that defensive line.
Yeah. I mean, I guess those guys were cheap additions.
Under the radar.
Under the radar.
Yeah.
That is under the radar. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike them. I mean, they're fine.
At 23, down from 20, the Vikings, and their under-the-radar move is re-signing wide receiver Brandon Powell.
Okay. I mean, we're going pretty far under the radar.
We're going under the radar. Like,
I think he's a good special teamer.
This is Top Gun flying in, you know, under the in the valley.
Yeah.
If you go above the valley, you're...
You getcha. I assume they think he's the K.J. Osborne replacement type, you know, number 3 on the cheap.
At 22, the Saints... And their under-the-radar move is signing linebacker Willie Gay. That's a good one.
That's a real good one.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's not very under the radar. But they always do high-profile stuff at a high cost.
At 21, holding steady, the Chicago Bears. And their under-the-radar move was hiring wide receiver coach Chris Beatty.
Again, whoever the author here knows some people in the league that he's...
He coached DJ Moore at Maryland and spent 3 seasons coaching Keenan Allen with the Chargers. So I guess he has...
Didn't do much with Quentin Johnson last year.
The interesting thing, I was thinking about this on the flight down. So let's say, you know, when we do mock drafts, and this was prior to Keenan Allen being drafted or being traded for, when we've done mock drafts for the Bears, a lot of times we have them taking a wide receiver with their second first-round pick.
Adunze, often, right.
What if they do that? Now you got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and
I still think I would.
And the rookie.
I mean, I would take him over any defensive player if I were the Bears. I'd take him over Bowers.
But I'm thinking now, does DJ Moore become available?
I don't think so.
They're playing in Chicago. Are they going to run a lot of 11 personnel in Chicago?
If you have those three, you are. I mean, no, I just think
I just don't know if the weather's going to be real conducive to it.
I hear you. I think that's just a great landing spot for Williams then.
Yeah.
You know.
At 20, down from 19, are the Seattle Seahawks. And the under-the-radar move was keeping Tyler Lockett on a restructured deal.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I was kind of hoping from a Steeler perspective he'd get cut and signed to a one-year deal. I still think he could play, and they just kind of restructured things.
At 19, up from 26, are the Falcons. And the under-the-radar move was trading Desmond Ridder for Rondell Moore.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said. There's something for this with Pickett. There's something to be said with this with Mac Jones and how – young starters that used to be on the billboards, it's probably better they're gone. You know what I mean? Because a new guy's coming to town. Rondell Moore's a nice piece.
At 18, down from 17, are the Jets. And the under-the-radar move is re-signing safety Chuck Clark.
Okay. I think he was injured all last year.
Yeah.
Right? So that's – I mean, I like him. He was a big, important piece of the Ravens.
At 17, down from 16, are the Buccaneers. And the under-the-radar move was signing guard Sua Opeta.
Okay, he's a guy no one's heard of, but he's a starter.
Yeah.
That isn't going to break the bank in a guard market that was really expensive.
Really expensive,
yeah.
At 16, down from 15, are the Colts, and their under-the-radar move was signing quarterback Joe Flacco.
I kind of get it, and I kind of don't. I mean, he couldn't be any more different than Richardson.
100% the opposite of what Anthony Richardson is.
And so was Minshew. You know? I mean, but is he just a good influence in the room? Yeah. I mean, no question about it. Colts also didn't do much, so there's not a lot to pick for him.
Yeah. At 15, down from 14, are the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the under-the-radar move was signing outside linebacker Travis Gibson.
Okay. Not a guy I know a ton about, to be very honest with you.
Gives him like a third pass rusher.
Yeah. Okay, so he's an edge.
Yeah. At 14, down from 12, are the Rams, and their under-the-radar move was signing quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo.
Might pay off.
Stafford's
had injury stuff, and he would keep them highly competitive,
and
I don't know, they didn't pay a lot for
as long as he can also stay healthy.
Yeah. as a backup, that's what he is.
Yeah. At 13 are the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, okay.
Up from 18.
Okay.
I don't know how they got to 18. They were a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
And they're under-the-radar move. I don't know if this is under-the-radar. Signing inside linebacker Patrick Queen.
Wow, that was like the biggest move they made.
To me, it would have been, it would have been Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah, that'd be a good
or
one.
Or trading for Dante Jackson or, you know, one of those moves.
One of those moves. I mean, as deep as they went on some of these teams, that one's not
that
very
was
deep.
That's the one you put on the billboard.
I mean, that was your biggest price for
I mean, it's not the it's not on the radar as much as trading for two quarterbacks or acquiring two quarterbacks, but.
I mean, it's not as deep as your assistant GM or area scout for the SEC he signed or whatever, right?
At 12, down from 11. Are the Browns, and they're under-the-radar move with signing linebacker Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, he's all right. I liked him a lot more 2 years ago.
This was the argument we had the other day, too. Are the Browns right now better than the Steelers? I don't think so,
but they are right next to each other.
Yeah.
You know.
At 11, up from 13, are the Bengals. Under-the-radar move is signing safety Von Bell.
Yeah, I like that move.
Yeah.
I think it just – he went away for a year.
He's back.
Lost a lot
knows
of games
the defense.
To Carolina.
Yeah.
Get back and give it
your safeties were a mess last year.
They were.
Yeah. At 10, holding steady are the Packers. The under-the-radar move is revamping the strength and conditioning staff.
Wow. You got to know the team pretty well. I mean, were they that terrible? That's interesting.
At 9, down from 7, are the Cowboys. And the under-the-radar move was keeping assistant coach Lunda Wells and Al Harris. That tells you they haven't done anything.
I mean, for that one, I understand digging that deep. Painting the weight room doesn't count to me.
Revamping the cafeteria menu.
Yeah, right. Now there's a veggie burger.
At 8, up from 9, the Houston Texans. And the under-the-radar move, and I didn't really like this one, is trading for and extending running back Joe Mixon.
I didn't either. I thought that was their only move I didn't like.
It was a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's easily to find in the draft, cheaper. I don't think he has a lot left, but it's a good situation for him.
Yeah. At 7, up from 8, are the Eagles, and their under-the-radar move is hiring defensive coordinator Vic Fangio.
That's a great one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
6 are the Dolphins. I think they should be lower than that.
I wouldn't have them that high, yeah.
Their under-the-radar move is hiring defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver, but they then gave him nothing to work with.
True. He's really highly respected from the Ravens organization, and a lot of people think he's a future head coach. But so it's a good step for him.
At 5, holding steady, and I don't know if they should be holding steady, are the Bills, and they're under the radar move, was promoting Bobby Babich to defensive coordinator. He's got Pittsburgh ties.
Does he?
His dad's a Pittsburgh guy, Bob Babich.
Okay. I didn't know that, so I don't know much about him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. At 4, down from 1, the Ravens.
They're hard in free agency.
Yeah, their under the radar move was trading offensive tackle Morgan Moses.
I mean, I think that's a case, if you're in favor of it, is, hey, let's get out while we can still get something for him. He had some sort of pec surgery recently, too, and he's been up in age. He's played a ton of snaps.
Yeah.
But how do you replace him? I mean, it's not Falele.
No, it's not Falele.
I mean, yeah.
Falele will fill the hole.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he can hold the hole.
Right. That's
the
right.
At 3, the 49ers holding steady, and their under-the-radar move is trading for defensive tackle Malik Collins.
Yeah, he fits. I mean, that's a team that wants hockey waves, a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
I didn't love the Gross Matos move, but they added quantity instead of quality, where last year they got the opposite with Hargrave.
Yeah. At 2, the Lions up from 4, and their under-the-radar move is keeping offensive coordinator Ben Johnson and defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, that's huge.
That was a big
hole.
Especially
Ben Johnson. I thought for sure he'd be a head coach.
They won't be in the same situation next year probably because they're going to lose one or both.
And if their season goes as the second-best team in the league, which I don't know if they're the second-best team in the league. But.
And Kansas City's number 1, and their under-the-radar move was re-signing defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo.
I have a feeling he never was threatened to leave, and everybody's happy about it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Might have been Marquise Brown. That's not under the radar, though.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah.
But interesting, just a little different perspective on.
Some of those they dug really deep.
They dug
deep at all.
You have to look some of those guys up.
Yeah, there was a couple names I didn't know, even a couple of the players. But.
Yeah. Matt, that's going to do it for the show today.
It was fun. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be back again tomorrow and then again on Wednesday. You can also watch the show on YouTube in addition to listening to it on your favorite podcast downloader or Steelers.com or however you listen to the show. We appreciate that. But for my partner, Matt Williamson, here on we've got Gerard Schaefer here on site making sure we look all pretty. Well,
doing
the best that he can to make us look all pretty on YouTube. And, of course, we have Justin Miller back in the in Pittsburgh keeping us on the air. And we also want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.